Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
I understand that we talk about Michael Jordan as if you should know exactly what Michael Jordan did. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember. And we do. So much of his airness is in lore and in memory and in highlights. But there's more to it than that. First thing is this. I have a friend in this business. I won't mention his name. And he used to go around telling people he had a photographic memory. So I pulled him aside one night and I was like, hey, do you really have a photographic memory? He's like, oh, yeah, I can name a game. I can tell you, you know, I can tell you what happened and who was the leading scorer. I was like, okay, so I name a game. And I was like, well, what color jerseys were they wearing? What kind of shoes were they wearing? What color tie was the head coach wearing? He's like, I don't know any of that. Like, that's what a photographic memory literally is, closing your eyes and you can actually see a highlight or something like it's a photograph, right? A very, very good memory is where you can remember a stat, a moment, a play, a series of plays, how something went down. And that's what LeBron has. I would say that's what a lot of us have. Like in our business, one of the things you need is a really good memory to call upon these things. That's really our job. Our job is to shape your opinion and to support our own, sometimes admit wrong, right? On Mondays, Colin, when he's right, when he's wrong. But it's also to remind you of things that happened in the past in sports. And we're not going to quote chapter and verse of box scores in baseball games, but Michael Jordan is the example, and he is considered the greatest of all time. For me, he's the best basketball player I've ever seen. And what made him the best basketball player is in large part because the type of things that you saw from LeBron James over the weekend. Like, we're going to do this thing, which is kind of annoying. It's factually correct, but it's like, well, in year 17, what did Jordan do? Well, like, he didn't play 17 years. He went to college for 3 years. He took a year and a half off for baseball. He then retired again, and then he came back in his late 30s and played for the Wizards. So it's like, you know, is LeBron the greatest to do it 17 straight years? Fine. Okay, then Jordan's the greatest to retire and come out of it. He had the greatest post-retirement career ever. And the greatest double retirement career ever. Even was with the Wizards when he wasn't in great shape and he's in his late 30s with a bad team, he averaged 20 a game. But what you saw from LeBron over the last two games was what it reminds me of Michael Jordan more so than the championships. Like, I'll give you the last shot for most of us that Michael Jordan actually took, he made. It was against the Utah Jazz. I know he played for the Wizards, but like so many things, I just click and I delete that. I drag it over to the trash. I empty the trash in my mind because that was one of those. He had built this team. It wasn't a great team. He was just trying to win some games, you know, stoke the competitive fire. This is the last shot that he took as a basketball player. Needing a bucket on the road against Brian Russell. He supposedly held the follow through because he had been short all night. He hits the game winner. But what was lost in that is Jordan also scored on the two previous possessions. And with the game tied and hanging in the balance, he stole the ball from Karl Malone in order to get that last possession. And that's what LeBron was able to do for me, at least. You take yesterday, they're taking on the Clippers, right? Anthony Davis, for the second straight game, wasn't great early in the game. And however it got translated to AD, he seemed to relax. And I would guess that LeBron had some, at least small part in it, right? You got to feel like LeBron's ability to at least attempt. He did a good job on Giannis on Friday. He did a good job when he was guarding. You know, Paul George might have been the best player on the floor for a good portion of yesterday's game, whether it's Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. LeBron did a better job than he'd been doing. He got on the floor to get a loose ball. He tried to take a charge from Marcus Morris. I want to make sure I get my Morris's correct. That was really confusing yesterday. which Morris is the good Morris, which Morris does which play for. But those little things that got his team extra possessions, the defensive stops, the understanding time and score, the finding Avery Bradley, who finally decides to make some shots in a big spot, attacking Lou Williams, who not only couldn't guard LeBron, that was obviously the game plan in the second half. Jordan didn't just hit the game-winning shots. Right? That's what we go down and we do the last 5 seconds, last 15 seconds, who's most clutch. It wasn't about that. It was about Michael Jordan seemed to find a way to guard the other team's best player, to make the big steal, to make the big play, to put himself or his team in position to get a shot for the game-winning shot. Look, these weren't end-of-game scenarios. Like the Bucks, Giannis did not look like he was ready for that physicality. They made him into a shooter. He's clearly not a shooter as of yet. The Bucks just did not look ready for prime time in terms of their ancillary pieces, and that game wasn't close down the stretch. The Clipper game was closer, and they led for a good portion of it, but after the third quarter, the Lakers led, and it never got to be in a one possession. So I'm not going to evaluate in terms of clutchness. But to those of us who grew up and lived in the Jordan era, and that was my entire childhood up until playing in college and watching him finally retire the second time, I guess, when he hit the shot against the Jazz. Those were the things that Jordan was able to do. I know LeBron didn't get the charge call. I know that he didn't even get the loose ball when he went for it on the floor. I know these, but it was the fact that he led by doing more so than by saying. He showed the desire and ability to take and make the big stop defensively. And the team played to a higher level than really their level of competency. Like I said he was the MVP on Friday, and I think that Friday and Sunday people are starting to understand why. Is he the best, most statistically dominant, even LeBron James we've ever seen? No. He's not the best version of himself physically. He's not. But like, if you would have taken a snapshot of Rondo at the start of the year, or even Rondo at the start of the game, and then watched as Rondo got better, he is the rising tide that is lifting ships. This is not a great Laker team. It's not. People picked apart their roster at the start of the season. And here they are, owners of the best record in the West. Right? They took down the Clippers, who were undefeated with their full roster. They beat the Bucks, who had the best record in the East. Granted, the Bucks beat them at their place, and the Clippers had beat them 2 out of 3. But he has the best record in the West, and I wouldn't say he has the best roster in the West, especially after Kyle Kuzma has still not lived up to his preseason billing, still hasn't kind of found his groove in what they're doing. They're still kind of a moving target as to what their bench is going to look like, although it was much more competent yesterday as they continue to tinker with it. And we'll see what the latest addition does to that when that becomes reality. But Jordan, I don't care about the 17 years or what they did at 35. Michael Jordan at 34, when he wanted to be, was the best player on the floor every night. LeBron at times this year has not been that. He has not. He has struggled at times, not just with his teammates, but with his own age and adjusting to his own body and to playing point guard more readily, especially in important situations and what all that means. But it seems like he's figuring it out. How at this stage in his career, with this level, he's still a freak athlete in the real world. In the NBA, he's not as freaky as he used to be, because he used to be one of the 3 or 4 most athletic guys at his size, which was remarkable. He knows how to pace himself. He knows where to get on the court with his spots. He seems to find ways to have a better pace, play with better balance, to get the ball to his teammates, to help Anthony Davis play better and better as the game goes on in both the last two games. He has stuck with Avery Bradley in years past. If you would have played as poorly as Avery Bradley did early on in the season with LeBron James, LeBron would have been done with you. Just done with you. That's what he does with guys. He just on to the next. But for whatever reason, he stuck with him. And the staff stuck with him. And Avery Bradley had his best big game as a Laker last night. The takeaway is this. I could quote you chapter and verse of the Jordan moments of my lifetime, which I don't believe will ever be topped. The 6 threes in the first half against Portland. the overall dominance against Utah both times. Heck, you even go back to his first NBA Finals against the LA Lakers, because the MO of Michael Jordan was he wouldn't pass, he'd try and do it himself. Kind of the opposite of LeBron early on. And he averaged 11 assists a game in the five-game NBA Finals series against the LA Lakers. And that was that was when Magic, of course, played for the Lakers. It was the show. It was the changing of the guard in the NBA. So you could go from him feeding John Paxson and showing his desire to pass to him dominating Karl Malone when Karl Malone had won the MVP. That was maybe the biggest similarity, is that Friday night, LeBron wanted to guard Giannis. LeBron wanted to make a point that he was the best player on the floor. And that felt like Jordan, because if you remember, when Jordan beat Barkley in the finals, Barkley was the MVP that season. When Jordan beat Karl Malone the first time in the finals, Karl Malone was the MVP. And what Jordan wanted, it was what LeBron has achieved over the weekend, which is he wants you to walk away from that court going, I don't care if Karl Malone or Charles Barkley or Clyde Drexler win MVPs. The best player on the basketball floor is Michael Jordan. And over the weekend, you could say, I don't care whether Kawhi Leonard won the NBA Finals MVP or Giannis Antetokounmpo is the residing MVP and may well be the MVP this year in the NBA. The best player on the basketball floor was LeBron James. And that is that's what Jordan did consistently. That's what LeBron achieved this weekend. Here's Anthony Davis on LeBron's MVP stretch over the last couple games.
Just watch the last two games. I mean, what he's been able to do, taking on matchups defensively, you know, leading the pack offensively, making the right plays. You don't see that from a guy who's 17 years in the league.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get tired of that. I understand he's been in the league a long time. I'm not going to go into the parsing the how old he is with how many years he's played. It's remarkable. And maybe not making the playoffs last year not only energized him and motivated him, but also gave his body rest, which he deserved after all those finals runs in the East. It hasn't always been great this season, right? Like, he played great against the Pelicans, didn't play against Golden State, was not energized against the Memphis Grizzlies. But in the NBA, we do tend to judge you what you do in these games that matter. And while we're not going to hand the finals trophy to the Lakers just yet, still a lot of ball game left. They got to stay healthy. They're going to have to beat the Clippers in a four-game series after fighting off two other teams just to get to the Clippers, and then maybe play the Bucks and have to beat them in a seven-game series as well. LeBron James left no doubt over the last two games against two of the great players in the NBA, two guys who have at times looked like the best players on the planet. He was the best and most important player on the floor, and his team won both those games, which is all that it's really about to begin with.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Saw this story, which was written by Todd Archer, that with a deadline to use the franchise tag coming on Thursday, the Cowboys sent Dak Prescott a new contract offer. Now, apparently, sources have said that the Cowboys offered Dak Prescott a deal worth $33 million per season with more than $100 million guaranteed on the table. That was rejected before the season was still sitting there, and the Cowboys had some sort of restructure in what they sent him. And my guess is, like, look, this is the game of chicken, right? Do the Cowboys want to franchise tag him? No. One, they want cost certainty. They want to know what they're going to pay for their quarterback over the next 3 to 4 years. Secondly, you can't be clever with the money if you franchise tag your quarterback dollar for dollar, whether it's the traditional franchise tag, which is like $28 million, or the exclusive franchise tag, which is like $33 million. That comes directly off the cap, and it becomes extremely prohibitive to sign other players. And once you use that tag, you can't use it on, say, an Amari Cooper, to keep Amari Cooper before you renegotiate a long-term deal. Russell Wilson has the highest average per year salary among quarterbacks, coming in at $35 million. Ben Roethlisberger, $34 million. Of course, this is just south of Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Which, of course, leads us to wonder, does Dak really have to make more money than all the previous guys or more money than Carson Wentz? Which, to me, is just the dumbest, most insane thing you got to do, right? Like, we do this in real estate where there's comps. How big? How many square feet? What neighborhood? Find five houses that are comps, and you get about the price. But that doesn't mean your house is always going to sell for a dollar more than the house next to you. And while you can say Dak Prescott or Jared Goff, and some people will look and say Dak Prescott's coming off of his career year, best offense in football. Jared Goff's coming off a disappointing year. That would be fair. Jared Goff's year was disappointing because they went to the Super Bowl the year before. That hasn't happened to Dak. His disappointing year led to them being 9-7 in a better division as opposed to Dak, who got to 500 in an inferior division. Like, we can go round and round and round, but the only thing holding Dak Prescott back from signing life-changing money is that he wants to make a dollar more or a couple dollars more than Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, instead of stepping back and going like, I don't know, I get to be quarterback of the Cowboys for 3-4 more years guaranteed, make $100 million, and if we get this thing done now, there's a greater likelihood of long-term success with the Cowboys. I almost feel like we're to this point where Dak Prescott's going to go from the most massively underpaid quarterback in the NFL to a guy who is the most overpaid quarterback in the NFL. We have seen Dak Prescott without Ezekiel Elliott when Zeke was suspended for 6 games. It didn't work well. We have seen Dak Prescott without Amari Cooper, without a star wide receiver. It did not work out well. It doesn't mean that he stinks. It doesn't mean that he's not more than capable of leading the Cowboys. But he cannot lead the Cowboys by himself. He's gotten several opportunities to do so, and it didn't end up in the playoffs. Even this year, with all the talent and with a mostly healthy lineup, they couldn't take down they couldn't score a touchdown against the Philadelphia Eagles on the road, and the Eagles had practice squad wide receivers. I understand the financial game of chicken that you're in, and I get that Dak will ultimately be a Cowboy, but at some point in every negotiation, just go, let's just get this thing done, because every moment a dollar sits on the sideline, that's less money your money could be making.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So over the weekend, the Lakers took down the Bucks. The Lakers took down the Clippers. Suddenly now LeBron James has been thrust into the MVP conversation. And the Lakers are the best team in the NBA. Damn it. But let's just take a breath. And as much as there is needed excitement, like the Lakers are a powerful brand. They have all those banners. They have all those jerseys. Right? But the way it actually works is they don't award championships in the regular season. I know. You may think otherwise. I would say maybe the most the part that gives you the most hope if you're the Lakers is not a Laker fan is not just the two wins over two championship caliber teams, is that LeBron James athletically looked as close to his peak at 35 as he's looked all season long in the second game as well as the first, right? Like, you can load up for one game and look great, but after a day off, and then he went to, I think, his son's game on the night off, Sierra Canyon played, I think, at Pepperdine. He goes to that game, and then after the day off, you go and play in a noon game. You know, it's 12:30 local start time. You take on the Clippers, so you don't have 48 hours even of rest. You got 30 or so hours of rest to then look that fresh, that athletic, and perform that well down the stretch at his age shows this guy is remarkable in his level of physical conditioning at this point in time, and maybe any point in time in his career. But we don't award championships for the NBA in March. Hell, we don't even award college championships. The NCAA championship isn't until April. So I just, as much as you got to feel good if you're the Lakers at some of the changes they've made, the adjustment they made at the half. Look, they beat Milwaukee and they beat the Clippers mostly because of the third quarter. That is on coaching. That is on adjustments. That is on lineup adjustments. And whatever was said and however they came out and attacked, They were better after the half in a almost Golden State Warriors type of way. Right? That's where the Warriors won games. It was the third quarter. They would blow your doors off. And the Lakers didn't blow your doors off, but in two competitive games, they open it up. And I think you can feel really, really good about your chances. And that's before you get Deion Waiters, who will give you another couple of buckets, you think, off the bench. Ultimately, when you get to the playoffs, and he does have playoff experience. All that is good. But you do have an older roster. You do have one of your stars. Anthony Davis is seen as a bit injury prone. Kyle Kuzma has not yet figured it out. You did get, how was it, 6 threes from Avery Bradley? I don't know if you can count on that in every playoff game. You definitely can't count on six. How many can you count on considering the first half of the season he struggled mightily shooting the basketball? And the Clippers did miss shots. And while you pushed around the Bucks, and the Bucks look like a one-man band, just surrounded by shooters, which is kind of what they are, and you look like you had one all-star and a bunch of other guys who just kind of fed the ball to that one all-star, and the Lakers seem to figure out how to do a good job on Giannis, much the way the Miami Heat had, right? Like, the word is out on how you play him. You got to get as many like-sized bodies and be as physical with him as possible. Guess on those spin moves. That's what they've done. And once he gets his head down, then you can collapse. He struggles to kick it out when he gets to certain spots on the floor. Like, all of that is great. But we didn't freak out when the Bucks manhandled the Lakers first time around because we said, well, Lakers 14-day road trip, they're tired. We shouldn't have freaked out when the Clippers beat the Lakers the two previous times of the season. Hey, it's day one. Hey, Lakers got 9 new guys. If we're going to be fair, if we're going to have congruent arguments, right? If an argument is good for the Lakers, the argument should be good for the Bucks. The argument should be good for the Clippers. If we're going to have congruent arguments, know that that was a battle. This is a war. Sometimes you're going to lose battles and win wars. We are far away from the marathon concluding. And as much as we would like the end of the movie to be the end of the movie, it's not. We're simply in the middle. And the plot has been developed, and we know when it's going to reach its crescendo. We assume it's going to be the Lakers against the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, and we assume that the Bucks are going to be waiting in the Eastern Conference Finals, but we have no idea who's going to be healthy. We have no idea who is in between the Lakers and the Clippers, or who is between the Bucks and the Eastern Conference Finals. And all of these teams are fallible, and if they lose one of their starters, it does have a certain house of cards effect, especially with an older team like the Lakers. We quoted Denny Green on Friday about the Rockets being who they thought they were. They are who we thought they were. Denny Green went on to say, if you want to crown them, crown them. If you want to crown the Lakers, fine. Kyle Kuzma can crown LeBron James as the king when he walks over to the sideline after reigning supreme in two epic regular season showdowns. But they don't award championships based upon two games in March in the regular season in the NBA. Things are looking better for the Lakers. They are looking more competitive. They are figuring it out, and LeBron still feels like he has enough in the tank to carry this team. But a lot of ball game left. A lot of ball game left.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let's welcome in Rick Bucher, who writes your Bleach Report. You see him on Fox Sports 1 throughout all of our TV shows. It did feel like, though the Lakers won both games,
right,
it meant much more to them, right? Like, that was much bigger for them than it would have been for the Bucks or for the Clippers to win those games.
Yeah, I would say especially for Sunday's game with the Clippers, no question about it. The Bucks, there was, I would call that a little bit more even as far as the desire to get something done or to prove something. I'm almost not recognizing you, by the way, in this suit jacket. It's,
well, I wore a t-shirt on Friday.
Okay.
Right.
So that you're balancing things out, letting people know your versatility.
What was a Garth and Barry 2000? What happened was Garth Brooks played in Detroit, and he wore a Barry Sanders jersey.
Right.
But people apparently thought it was for Bernie Sanders.
Right.
And so he got booed. So there's a T-shirt shop. I'll give him a shout out. Chris's University Spirit, who they're donating the money to Coaches versus Cancer. So I wore like a a sweater jacket and a t-shirt on Friday. So I felt like I was underdressed on Friday, casual dress Friday.
Gotcha.
I'd be a little overdressed today and wear a
you're not overdressed,
coat.
But
wear,
nice.
Wear a sport. Well, you're wearing a tie. Yeah. She's wearing a lovely dress. So I'm just trying to keep up with you guys. Okay. Is LeBron now the MVP of the league?
No, he's not the MVP of the league. Is he leading the MVP race? Yeah, I could make that case.
Would you have made that case before this weekend?
Well, I thought he was in the hunt. I thought it was a competition between him and Giannis.
I thought it was closer than people were leading you to believe.
100%. And I said down the stretch is going to determine it. It doesn't. So I would put him ahead. It doesn't mean that he couldn't fall behind again.
Yep.
I think it's a two-man race, and that LeBron is very much in it. It's just there's two questions here. Would he get my vote? Will he get my vote? Yes. Will he be at the top of my ballot? Because we pick five.
Okay. Would
right?
he?
As of right now, yes, he would be. That can change over the next couple of weeks. He was going to be number two if he wasn't number one leading into this. But the other element is, how do I think the voters are going to vote? And I do believe this weekend is going to be very convincing for a lot of voters. There's still going to be some that are going to hold on to the analytics. But head-to-head, I've said this on our shows. However you want to define MVP, LeBron James is the better basketball player than Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Far more skilled.
He can manage a team in a multitude of ways that Giannis simply can't.
Yes.
You want to say who's the better athlete at this point? Now, I could make a case for Giannis. But as a basketball player, LeBron James has skills that Giannis Antetokounmpo does not.
I would agree. Does this make the Lakers the favorites to win the championship?
It does make them the favorites. Do I think they're going to win it? No, I don't. But you can't argue with what they've done to this point. What the Clippers showed me, first of all, I look at the elements of Sunday. You've mentioned Avery Bradley had a out-of-body experience, at least as far as this season is concerned. Marcus Morris was 0-for from three-point range. If I look at those two guys as playoff performers, Marcus Morris shoots over 40% three-point range in the playoffs, 36-37% career from three-point range. Avery can't compare to those. He shoots closer to 30% in the playoffs. Do I think that Lou Williams is going to come up short? Do I think Landry Shamet is not going to score, basically not hit a three? Do I think Marcus Morris is going to go 0-for? No, there are more players that I would expect would measure up to what they've done in the past than I would have Avery Bradley repeat that performance four times. And that's what basically you would need. Either Avery Bradley has that kind of performance, or Kyle Kuzma has that kind of performance, or Markieff Morris. But somebody has to, and I just look at across the board, this is why I've always liked the Clippers. They have more margin for error. On Sunday, they got nothing from anybody, including Patrick Beverley, who quietly was a disaster.
Yes.
They just had a lot of guys fall down. But I also had the sense that Doc, like I was surprised, Doc had both Kawhi and Paul George off the floor for stretches. He was looking at a second unit of Jamichael Green and all secondary guys, Reggie Jackson, and it was. I still felt as if Doc was experimenting.
Yes,
a little
he's
bit.
still trying to figure it out. Although I think the Lakers were experimenting a little.
I agree.
Here's my thing on Patrick Beverley.
Yeah. Right?
First of all, Patrick Beverley has lived the dream of anybody who played in Europe. Right? Like the NBA shuns you. You go over there, you get buckets, you collect some checks, you come back, and you prove to them everybody was wrong.
Right.
I do feel like, look, to win an NBA championship, now I'll grant you, the Lakers are not exactly stacked at point guard with Rondo and Caruso. But the idea, like, I almost feel like Patrick Beverley, they think they can't win without him because he's their heart and soul, but I'm not sure they can't win with him because there just is a ceiling there to how good a player he is.
Well, look, there was a reason at the trade deadline that they were looking to add point guard help and front line help. And you saw it on Sunday. Their Montrezl Harrell is, I think, the world of him. He's not necessarily a classic rim defender. And so that's why if LeBron or whoever was turning the corner, they would go in with impunity and go all the way to the rim if Zubac was not on the floor. Same thing with Patrick Beverley. Reggie Jackson, to me, was more effective because Reggie Jackson isn't like a true point guard. In fact, they were playing him more at the two with Lou at the one. But you know you're going to get something from him. And Pat, on Sunday, gave you nothing other than yapping, which to me turns hollow in a hurry if you're not playing well.
Rick Bucher joining us in the Herd. I'm Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin. I don't know if anybody noticed, but the Rockets are playing poorly. And suddenly now Mike D'Antoni says they've hit rock bottom.
I feel like he said that once before this year. I just feel like there was a point. And this is what happens when you play that style. And then a James Harden, let's say rock bottom. I mean, James Harden has disappeared. But this is what happens when you are this player-centric, star-centric, and you ask this much out of particular players on a night-in, night-out basis. It just wears you down. I didn't expect to see it until the playoffs, but this does not surprise me at all. They don't get – Russ and James have to expend a ton of energy for this system to work, and they have to knock down threes on a consistent basis for that system to work. Any team that is a true playoff or title contender, as the people have kind of suggested maybe the Rockets are, you have to be able to live off your defense. You have to be able to compete without being able to score and be comfortable doing that. Your energy can't come out of we're knocking down threes and we're making the other team play faster than they want to. That's the great misnomer when it comes to the Golden State Warriors.
They were a great defense.
They could suffocate you. They could play slow. They were comfortable doing it. And so their small ball does not equal the Rockets' small
ball. Well, the other part, and I'm glad you brought it up. Because I do think, yes, they had small ball, but they also had a rim defender in Kevin Durant or Looney.
Or Andrew Bogut.
But yes, when they were great, they had Andrew Bogut. But when they went small, they still that's why Durant was so valuable to them. Yeah. They also only had one guy who they could hide defensively. And the truth with the Rockets, and I don't know how many people said, like, Russell Westbrook's not a good defensive player.
No.
He's not.
And he was at UCLA, which has always boggled my mind. He was known for his defense at UCLA, and he has bad defensive habits.
Yes.
It's not late. It's not like I'm spending so much energy at the other end.
There's some of that. There's some bad habits as well. I also think reputation, because he's made some faces and made some steals and acted like he's he's so quick and explosive that you think, well, he's got to be a great defense player. He's just not.
Right.
Whereas James Harden, he doesn't even try. So when you have two guys and you don't have rim protection now without Capella, it becomes house of cards. Kenny Atkinson got Kyrie'd over the weekend. Is that what happened?
No. It was the first thing I thought.
First thing everybody thought.
Yes. But from what I've been told, it's not accurate.
If Kyrie Irving wanted Kenny Atkinson to be the coach, Kenny Atkinson would be the coach.
Okay,
correct?
But that's different.
Okay.
That's different. The feeling was this team has underachieved mightily and that they've become so we had the stat where they took, I don't know, they score any from threes, or they scored like 6 points from mid-range that were not layups or threes, that Kenny was behind that. I thought it was the analytics of Sean Marks and the Nets that's the way they played. And I've been told, no, like that's what Kenny bought into. And his rotations, people want to look at it and say, well, he coached last year's team to 42-40, and this is a different team. And
right.
It is. And he has a lot of guys on this roster that did not buy in the way guys last year did. So Kyrie maybe is one of them. KD's maybe one of them. But don't put it like Kyrie got him fired. That is categorically unfair. Or KD and Kyrie got him fired. They may have been part of the of the pitchforks and torches,
yes,
but they weren't the only ones.
They could have been part of the pardoning process as well. Like, do you guys want to keep this guy? Like,
okay, okay, but here's the thing. So both of these guys, both Kyrie and KD, have won championships.
Yes,
they know pretty well what a championship caliber coach looks like.
Yes,
Kenny Atkinson has never proved that. So if they look at that and they look at some of the things that they were doing, some of the decisions that Kenny has made, and how he was or was not challenging players, who's to say they're wrong?
No,
if that's where they intend to go.
Okay, so who do they hire?
That's a good question, because who are you going to get? I mean, Ty Lue has already been mentioned out there. Mark Jackson was a name that threw out there. Both of those guys are guys that at least from the outset, KD and Kyrie would respect. Whether they can get the job done, that would have to be determined.
Hmm. But you're asking a guy, Sean Marks, who's a Spurs guy, to hire somebody outside the family. Does that happen?
Yes. Hmm. Because you have a new owner. And the owner is looking at things through a different prism. Now, I have no reason to believe that Sean isn't in good stead with the new ownership as sure. much as he was with the old. But I also feel as if Joe's not going to look at this and say we have to do everything the San Antonio way.
Last thing, apparently there's going to be a phone call about continuing updates on the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Do we have fans at all NBA games this year? Best guess.
I'm going to say yes for now. Simply because I look at the NCAA and they're planning on playing and they're planning on having fans there. And I haven't gotten the sense from the league that they're ready to push that button. So, but I'm flying blind here.
No, I mean, we all really are.
It depends on where this ultimately goes. By the way, would I be a bad dad if I told my kids that staying off of their smartphones would help them avoid the coronavirus?
Absolutely like, not. Whatever you can get them off
the phone. Utilize that leverage to not to make light of this situation. I'm certainly not. But I'm looking for any way I can to get my kids not to use their phones.
Yeah. You are supposed to wipe your phone.
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's not enough made about how germophobic our germ-heavy our phones are.
Yeah.
I think we take that for granted.
You should wipe your phone probably every day.
Definitely wipe your phone if you could only get some sanitizer, which she's commandeered all this hand sanitizer.
Apparently I have all the
in Southern California. Good luck. Like CVS is completely out. Target's out.
The airport was fairly empty, which gave me a clear view of this industrial-sized hand sanitizer that they had at security.
He's Rick Bucher. You check him out on...